listening to Life Strategies with Monique. Get ready to be empowered and inspired.
It wasn't a normal party. It was a wild party. You know, a lot of that drinking and dancing and seductive women all over the room because he was the king. Meanwhile, while he's throwing his party, Vashti is in her quarters, having her own gala with her women. So we got the king over here who has all this power, and then we got the queen over here by herself doing her own thing. Because during that day, they were not to be together, especially under those circumstances. She was not supposed to be in his presence, especially if he was inebriated, intoxicated, and doing wild things, and he is definitely not in his right mind. Y'all with me? So two parties, same time, he throws an additional 7 days. So we pick up in verse 9. It says, Queen Vashti also made a feast for the women in the royal palace, which belonged to King Ahasuerus, better known as Xerxes. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zethar, and Caucus, the 7 eunuchs who served in the presence of the king Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king wearing her crown in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. But Queen Vashti refused. Say refused. She refused to come at the king's command brought by his eunuchs. Therefore, the king was furious, and his anger burned within. It is at this very moment where they considered Vashti to be a very disobedient woman. What she did was shameful. It was rude. It was unruly. She was being rebellious. In our terms, insubordinate on your jobs. She was characterized as the one that was going to be unfit because she refused to go before the queen in his drunken state and parade herself in front of a bunch of wild men. Now, giving you a few points this morning, starting with number one, you need to know who you are as a believer. Because when you know who you are as a believer, then you won't let anybody and everybody tell you what you should do. Know who you are as a believer. And in this room, I can look around, and I know we got some kings and some queens all over this room, but you don't even know who you are. See, we pretend like we know who we are, but we don't really know who we are. We say we're a queen, and that term means beauty and excellence. Come on now. So if you can stand for beauty and excellence, then you can be a queen. The king, on the other hand, means power, importance, and his position. Where are my kings in the room? Because you know who you are. So in order for Queen Vashti to refuse, she had to know who she was. Y'all agree? Uh-huh. Now, who was Queen Vashti? Let's do a little history walk to find out who Vashti was. Queen Vashti was the granddaughter of King Nebuchadnezzar. He was the one who destroyed the temple and drove the Jews out of Jerusalem. Then she was the daughter of Belshazzar, who saw the writing on the walls and couldn't interpret it. So he sent for Daniel to interpret the writing on him, for him. So that means if her grandfather was a king, her daddy was a king, her mother was a queen, then that meant she was a princess. So knowing who she was as a princess, that meant she was destined to be a queen. Destined to be a queen. In that sense, that automatically tells me that as a mother, the mother is preparing her for her rulership. Getting her ready to be in position in her own right, preparing her to know that there's certain things you just don't do. Being in the presence of a lot of men, some things you just don't do. See, her mother was training her up in the way that she should go because the mother knew, guess what? You're going to be in this position one day, and I need you to know how you need to carry yourself in this world and when you depart from me. Being a queen amongst you. And so she refused. Because under normal circumstances, yes, she would have come. But these were not normal circumstances. He was drunk. Had a room full of men. Inappropriate and unacceptable. Inappropriate and unacceptable. She refused to be exploited. Now, she knew customs. Because under Persian law, she was not to appear in the presence of strangers. Y'all with me? You need to know who you are. You need to know how you're supposed to walk. Because if you're in the right place, at the right time, blessings will come. But if you're at the wrong place, at the wrong time, destruction is at hand. So you need to know who you are. Vashti displayed what we call decent disobedience. Decent disobedience, meaning I have a right to decline if it goes against what I believe. I have a right to decline when it goes against my belief system and God's laws. But if you don't know God's laws, then you don't know what you're going to decline. That means you're going to accept any and everything in your world. Now, having self-respect, decent disobedience. Because there's a such thing as feminine and masculine honor. That means you're a woman of modesty or a man of modesty. You don't do any and everything. Because when you're a queen, you represent excellence. And when you're a king, you have that position and you have that power. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. She knew, this is not what I'm supposed to do. This is not how I'm supposed to carry myself in your presence. And if you look around, a lot of times we see that we're not so careful to demonstrate character of integrity and respect, being a woman and a man of modesty. We see less and less of that with our children today. We got to teach our young girls and daughters, you need to be a woman and a man of modesty. Not doing what everybody else says to do in this world. Yeah. Number two, you need to be in control of you.
I like that.
You need to be in control of yourself, not everybody else. Control is a serious issue. Proverbs 25 and 28 says this, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. See, verse 12, it says the king was furious. He got angry. And the anger started burning and festering inside of him. Why? He was living a lawless life. No self-control whatsoever. The king could have what he wanted, when he wanted. People did things at his command. So when you get to the place where you're just lawless, things for you are now corrupt. You become violent. You become abusive. See, the king was displaying what we call a controlling spirit. And that controlling spirit causes you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. Unrestrained appetites. You get all of these nice little cravings. And these cravings tend to take control over you. Okay? An unrestrained appetite, which is what the king displayed. Again, he could have whatever he wanted, when he wanted. There was nothing keeping him from getting it. And so the moment one person says to him, no, he loses his mind. Loses his mind, and he gets angry because he can't control. See, when I want to control something, I'm trying to avoid pain myself. You better hear me. When I'm trying to control something, I'm trying to avoid pain myself. Because if I can control the situation, then I can keep you and everybody else from hurting me. That's called the control, rebellion, rejection cycle. In a nutshell, what happens is I want to control this situation. And because I want to control this situation, I'm going to do whatever I need to make sure it's within my power. But the person that I'm trying to control is going to do two things. They're going to rebel against me, or they're going to reject me, which is what Queen Vashti did to the king. He tried to control her. She says, no, that's rejection. So you rejected me, so now I'm angry. So now I've got to take matters into my own hands, and I've got to do something about this. You cannot control other people. You cannot control other people. We see marriages destroyed, children losing their minds. The husband want to control the wife want to control the husband, the children want to control the adults, and you can't make anybody do what you want to do. The power is in you to control only you. This is a control issue. Control. Get yourself under your own control. But because he wanted so much power and he was used to getting what he wanted, we now have what we call a power struggle between two adults. And this is why we often see marriages end and children go against their mothers and their fathers, because now we have a power struggle between two individuals. See, there are three ways that a person tries to control. Well, there's one main way, and that is through manipulation. Manipulation. That is the number one way that people would try to control you. So the first kind of way they control you is what we call the interrogator. See, the interrogator is the one that's going to belittle you and put you down. Because if I belittle you and put you down, I now put you into some form of submission under me. I make myself feel good and try to make you look bad. Then we have the intimidator. This is the violent one. He's going to force you. He's going to make you do what he wants you to do. Scare you into submission. If you don't do this, then I try to intimidate you into doing what I want. And then this last manipulator is what we call the poor woe is me spirit. Woe is me. I'm crying is me. Make you feel sorry for him. And a lot of people fall for it every time. Because they cried you a river, and now they've manipulated you, and now you find yourself back in the same position. See, Vashti is teaching us. We got to stand up for who we are, but only if we know who we are. Because if you don't know the power and authority that is within you, if you don't know who Christ called you to be, then you're going to fall subject to being controlled by others. And it's so simple. Number three, know the power of your position and your authority as a believer. So again, you need to know what your position is. When you know your position, That means you're in the right, appropriate place. And when you know your authority, you now have the power to enforce any laws, any commands, any judgments, when you know the authority that you have. But my authority is always going to be attached to my position, because all positions don't have the same kind of authority. All positions do not have the same kind of authority. It all depends where you fall on the totem pole. So you need to know who you are. Because when you lose your position, you lose your power. And in the kingdom, I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to lose my position. Nor my authority that Christ gave me. Everybody in this room has the power. You got the power in you because of the position that Christ has left you to be in. Are you a trailblazer or a troublemaker? What are you? That's my title today. Are you a trailblazer or a troublemaker? Where do you fall? They thought Vashti was a troublemaker, but then she ends up being a trailblazer. Vashti had what we call a crown. And that was what the king wanted her to come to this wild party in. And she refused. Okay. Now, a crown is something that is considered to be very significant. So when we have a crown, it represents something. It is very symbolic. The crown that was worn by royalty was not to be diminished. It represented power. It represented authority. And it represented prominence. But it also signified one's influence, prestige, jurisdiction, their command, and their status. So in other words, this crown was not to be devalued or diminished. Meaning, whenever she wasn't wearing this crown, you can imagine it was always under lock and key. Because you only wore this crown under specific, pertinent occasions. Okay? Meaning, you were not supposed to wear this crown anywhere. Follow me now. You can't wear certain things everywhere. Did y'all get that? You can't wear certain things everywhere. And so what we have come to is we have tried to make it appropriate everywhere. And it ain't appropriate everywhere. You got to know the appropriate times to do certain things, which is where the children fail to realize that you can't do everything under the sun, because they want to rebel against you and try to control you to make you do what they want them to do. But what they don't realize, that that is not what they need. See, our queen, this is our queen of our house, Pastor Linda.
You get the weather.
Now, mind you, a queen represents beauty and excellence. Yes. Beauty and excellence. Yes. Meaning, that is the way she constantly walks. I don't care if she's in the building, out of the building, down the street, in the neighborhood. She represents what it means to be a queen. A queen. Now, how many of you know who you are? Wherever you go, Whatever you do, you represent beauty and you represent excellence. And the same thing goes for our men, representing power and importance appropriately. Appropriately. You can't devalue someone unless you let them. He wanted to devalue who she was as a human being. So number four, know your limitations and set your boundaries. See, limitations are something that sets restrictions on your life. And then a boundary is that which confines or put borders around who you are. So my limitations basically are inside, and my borders are on the outside. But I need to know my borders, and I need to know my limitations in my life, because you need to know without a shadow of a doubt who you are. See, let's look at verse 13. It says, Then the king said to the wise man, who understood the times, for this was the king's manner toward all who knew law and justice. Those closest to him being Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marcena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, who had access to the king's presence and who ranked highest in the kingdom. What shall we do? Say we. What shall we do to the queen, Queen Vashti, according to the law, because she did not obey the command of King Ahasuerus brought to her by the eunuchs? Real briefly, let's look at who the king was asking for advice. Now, mind you, these are the princes of Persia, and they're all sitting in his presence. And while they're sitting in his presence, he asked them a question because she refused to come. What shall we do? So let's look at who's in his presence. We have Karshena, which means illustrious. We have Shethar, which means star. We have Admatha, which means a testimony to them. And then we have Tarshish, which means yellow jasper. Meres, which means arrogant. And then Marcena, which means worthy. And then Memucan, which means dignified. So in a nutshell, the text never said they said a word, but the text does tell you their names, which tells you this is who was in his presence. So this is the message they were sending to him. King, is she really the example we want for our people? Does she signify being the illustrious one? Is she really a star? Is she a testimony? Does her walk represent who we want her to be? Is she a yellow jasper, meaning is she a precious stone? And from what I can see, she's showing arrogance. And is she really worthy? And lastly, is she dignified? And so now the king begins to question, is she really the queen? Is this who I really want to be the queen? Be careful who you have counsel you, because the text says, these were wise men, but these wise men were really wise men in their own eyes. You'll find that in Isaiah 44, verses 24 and 25. They were wise in their own eyes. These were kind of like your astrologers and your diviners who just basically made their own predictions, okay? Nothing spiritual. And it says, turn to Psalms 1:1-4. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. See, here's where we have the problem. The king asked counsel for advice. He didn't go to God. He asked counsel. And not only did he ask one, he has seven of them. Seven. We. I think that's too many people. That's too many people. Because he brought we, he now allowed these men to come into his bedroom. Conducting his household. Allowing other men to conduct his household. We. The only counsel you need is from God himself. That's the only counsel you need. Now, and finally, when we talk about these men and who he had in his presence, it said they were the seven princes of Persia. The word Persia means that which cuts or divides, which means they had an ulterior motive to strip him really of the kingdom, to bring division into his household. So you have to be really careful into who you let into your presence, because you don't know people's ulterior motives. You don't know people's ulterior motives. We have people who will purposely come be your friend. Purposely. Because the enemy has set them up to send them your way. Because, you know, we got three kinds of friends. We got that confidant, that comrade, and then that constituent. You better know who you got in your presence. You better know who's there for you. You better know which one you can tell your most intimate details, that confidant, that comrade, or that constituent who ain't going to be there that long. Know who you have in your presence. Verse number 16, and Memucan answered before the king and princes, Queen Vashti has not only wronged the king, but also all the princes and all the people who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's behavior will become known to all men, so that they would despise their husbands in their eyes. And when they report, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought to end before him, but she did not come. This very day, the noble ladies of Persia and Media will say to all the king's officials that we have heard of the behavior of the king. Thus there will be excessive contempt and wrath. So if it pleases the king, let a royal decree, meaning a law, go out from him, and let it be recorded in the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that will not be altered, that Vashti shall come no more before the king Ahasuerus. And let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. When the king's decree, which he will make, is proclaimed throughout all his empire, all wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. They wanted to get rid of Vashti because they thought she was a threat. A threat. See, insecure people are afraid of secure people. Insecure people are afraid of secure people. Vashti went against the grain. She went against the grain. She did the uncommon. And she stood up for what she really believed, because she knew who she was on the inside. And nobody can take that from her. And nobody can take that away from you. No matter what man says or what man tries to do to you, he can't take away your value. He cannot devalue you. He can't make you an object. He can't put something on your head and make you believe that you are what you aren't. You need to know who you are. Standing on who you are. So are you a trailblazer or a troublemaker? See, a troublemaker is a person who causes trouble, a person who creates problems and difficulties involving other people. But see, they're good troublemakers, and then they're bad troublemakers. Which side are you on? Are you the good troublemaker, or are you the bad troublemaker? See, Vashti was a good troublemaker, because again, she blazed a trail for a woman by the name of Esther, who saw her get deposed because she stood her ground. And Esther also had to stand her ground, so she became a trailblazer. And see, what God is asking us today, how many of you are willing to be trailblazers or even be a troublemaker so that you can become a trailblazer? He's asking us, he's calling on us to be trailblazers, because you know our Father is still coming back. But are you ready to stand on his promise? Are you ready to stand on who he is? And lastly, number 5, understand who you are. Understand the decisions that you make can change your destiny. Your decisions, when you decide, when you make up in your mind what you will do, you can become all that God has created you to be. So are you a trailblazer or a troublemaker? God is calling you. He's calling you. Because some of you are sitting here and you know that God has called you to do something, but you're afraid to stand up. See, this world wants to control us so much. Because currently, if you've been watching the news, there's a company up in Wisconsin that just had what we call a microchip party. And in that party, they put chips in their employees. And what this chip allows them to do, it allows them to make purchases at work, allows them to scan themselves into the door, allows them to get into their computers, simply by putting this little bitty chip in their hand that is about the size of a grain of rice. That's control. But if you're not willing to stand up, in the next few years when they try to make it mandatory for us, because it's coming, are you going to be willing to stand up and say, no, I refuse because of what I believe? To allow the enemy come in and put something foreign in me that I know absolutely nothing about? Are you going to be a trailblazer? See, the trailblazer is not worried about the world. A trailblazer sees there's a problem and they see an injustice and they want to see something done. Are you a trailblazer or a troublemaker? Amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to Life Strategies with Monique.